Hello and welcome everyone to edition 248 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One, and it especially does when it's a beautiful summer's evening like it is today. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK, where Team Lotus thrived. And by the way, there was a wonderful feature on Top Gear this week based around the Lotus 79, one of the truly iconic cars of Formula One history, filmed around Hethel, Ketteringham Hall, in just outside Norwich, basically. We don't need to say any more about the history of F1 in this county. That summed everything up you need to know about it. We'll try and link to it. Anyway, we are sat here, of course, in Norfolk, and actually in my garden, which is looking rather summerly resplendent. And I've let some people in, which is nice, and we'll get to those in a minute. We are going out on Future Radio, of course, as well as across all our usual podcast channels. And in our eighth season, we are here to review the 2019 British Grand Prix. Nailed it. I'm sports journalist Michael Bailey. A very good evening to you. And joining us on tonight's grass, we have my fellow NRF1 podcast founder, Perry Hamilton.
The palatial grounds of Bailey Manor are very welcoming.
it's semi-detached in urban Norwich.
Dude, your garden is about 10 times the size of mine. And your grass is real, so.
It's real grass. There's definitely fox poo in it.
That's fine.
Don't worry about that.
I've only rolled in it.
And, of course, we've got the F1 fan with the wizard beard, although it should be wizardy beard, really, Phil Gray. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Michael. Yeah, you definitely do need a ride on lawnmower for this garden, by the way.
That is not true. No, he's definitely... No, we're going to get a reputation. I'd love a ride on lawnmower, though. That's a very different argument.
He doesn't use the ride on lawnmower. His groundskeeper uses a ride on lawnmower.
Come on now. Right. By the way, Rex the cat is here. Hey, Rex.
He has literally turned away. He's turned away as you've thrust the mic at him.
He's not interested, but that's because Phil's giving him some fuss, which he doesn't tend to get around here. But Rex is, of course, the podcast cat. God bless him. And he'll be imparting some wise words, I'm sure, over the next 30 minutes or so. Hopefully not wiser than us, but let's not rule it out. How are we? How is everyone? What's new in our worlds? I don't know what is new in my world. No idea, but I'm enjoying summer. How about you, Phil?
Yeah, loving summer. It's, getting all ready for the new football season at work. It's good. Formula One's good. It's keeping us interested again, which is great.
What do you do, to say very briefly? Tell us.
I work in lotteries at Norwich City, in charge of all the different lottery products we have. The Golden Goals on match days, they're only £1 and you can win £500.
All right. There you go. The second Norwich City Football Club employee on the podcast in two pods. That's, I don't know, they're going to get a reputation this way, but there we go. Ben, how's your world?
Apparently, I'm a cricket fan now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've reliably been assured that every game of cricket is that exciting.
Yeah.
And so I should watch every game of cricket that I come across from now on. But just, you know, still recovering from Sunday. Today is Monday, so yesterday. But Sunday's World Cup cricket final was, as someone who's not a regular cricket watcher, I mean, for me, I was edge of the seat stuff. And I mean that literally. Like, I was on the edge of my seat. My wife tried to talk to me about something as we were coming up to the final two balls. It's just like, I'm not answering your questions. I just shut her down. I felt really, really bad. But that was amazing.
It was amazing, especially given you had one of the all-time epic Wimbledon men's singles finals going literally at exactly the same time. It was almost a race to which one would finish first.
And on top of the outstanding British Grand Prix, spoiler alert, being won by the greatest British racing driver of all time, you also had England, the host nation, win their netball match as well in the Netball World Cup on Sunday.
Oh, my Lord.
Sunday was a stonking day for sport. British and English sport as well.
It was. Led, of course, by Lewis Hamilton. So let's talk about the action at Silverstone, shall we? Because he is a legend. It's interesting, the conversations coming up about Lewis Hamilton and his Britishness and all this sort of stuff, which... You know, he's got a fair point that not everyone gets asked that question, but he has to field it. But, you know, a legend in our British motorsport lifetime, Phil.
Undoubtedly. You know, the guy's, you know, he's won his home race six times. There's not a huge amount of, there's not many any other drivers that can boast that. He's defining an era in his own sport in a similar way that Michael Schumacher did. He's dominating his team. His teammate is... ends up nowhere near as good as he is, and he just gets that extra little bit out of every single part of the car and the team. Yeah, it's incredible to watch.
People may quiz him on his Britishness and all this, but no one at Silverstone was, that in terms of the crowd, they were, and I we've I've been there and I know what it's like. They love him, basically. They want to see him do so well, and you could just see that. Wish they wouldn't cut to the crowd when the actual racing is happening on the circuit, but we'll maybe get onto that again. Get you in Vision replays, for f***'s sake.
We've been talking about it. You know, wrestling have been doing it for years. But
oh, there you go.
The
barometer of life, wrestling.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to television production and production of entertainment products, yeah, you know, they're up there. But what I will say is, yeah, you're absolutely right, Michael. Second lap, Lewis makes his move on Bottas. You didn't need your TV turned up to hear those cheers. And that's a motor racing track where you've got cars kicking out, I mean, they're not as loud as they used to be, but they're still kicking out some significant volume. And you can hear that crowd roaring when Lewis makes that move. I mean, we are, as a British people, and you can tweet me all you want, I really don't care. As a British people, we are so effing morose about our sport. We assume, we create and popularise sports, take them out into the wide world, and then moan as we watch the rest of the world be better at these sports than we are, because they invest more time in them, because they invest more money in them, because it means more to them, because we have this sense of entitlement around, well, we made it, we, you know, and it goes all the way back to colonialism. And if you don't think it does, then you probably don't know the history of cricket. But what I'm saying here is, it's, we will tell anyone who listens that it's about time the British won something, because we never win anything, which is absolute tosh. And then when we do have this generation-defining, individual, singular, extremely talented driver, all we can think to ask him is, you can't grow a very good moustache. You're not really that British, because you live in Monaco and then you spend some time in America. Your accent's changed. It's insulting. It's insulting to Lewis. It's insulting to the fans. And yes, I'm a little bit on my high horse about it, but he is the best British racing driver on four wheels, I suppose. I mean, someone's going to argue and say there was a better one. Callum would probably be able to tell me that there's other British racing drivers who haven't got the attention that Formula One has got. But the point is, Formula One is the pinnacle. If you're not killing it in Formula One, then you're just not where you need to be. So Lewis Hamilton, coming up to being probably the greatest Formula One driver of all time. He is British. He's born here. Yes, he has heritage as well, as he said, from the Caribbean, which again, people are going to latch onto that because he didn't say Caribbean as you would do in the Queen's English. It's just the attacks have become just utterly ridiculous.
Which sadly probably sums up the state of affairs in this country more than what's going on around it and what have you, but we're not going to get stuck into that.
And in
now,
one sentence, Michael was just more controversial than I was in my entire rant.
Well, you know, it's a strongly held belief and literally playing out as fact, but there we go. As to be said, Lewis, you know, took advantage of a safety car, which is kind of how we won the race. Really, he was outqualified by Valtteri.
Yeah, there's no doubt he'd have won that race if the safety car hadn't have been at that point. He was just on it that much more than Valtteri.
Even given the start, because Valtteri did really well defending him at the start.
Yeah, Valtteri did do well defending him at the start, but there's no way he's going to keep that up all race. Absolutely no way. Lewis has the edge. He's the better racing driver. He'll go for the gap where there might not necessarily be a gap, but he'll do it in a clever way, not like Max can do occasionally, and plow it into someone's side. You won't see, I don't think, after the Nico incident in Spa a few years ago, don't think you'll see Lewis making that same mistake again. He's one to learn from him.
Yeah, too true. Can I just open it up very briefly, because there were discussions, I think, before the race weekend about this. It's something that I think we've punted on this podcast once or twice recently, because we think we quite like the idea. Would we like to see Lewis race for Ferrari? Just take it out there and, you know, is that something that he needs in terms of his legacy?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're looking back at the history of Formula One, and which everybody does, there's always that red car there, and there's just something about it. And to see what he could do in a Ferrari, which undoubtedly is very quick in a straight line, not so handy around the corners, but I'm sure he could swing around there fairly quick. And because he's got that little bit extra, it'd just be really interesting to see what he can do in a car that's not specifically been built for him. And the Ferrari's, you know, I'm a McLaren fan myself, but there's something lovely about a Ferrari. When you see the new cars revealed at the start of each year, everybody's looking for what's the Ferrari going to look like. You know, is it going to be matte? Is it going to be dark red? Is it going to be shiny? Ferrari's the top of where you want to be.
See, I approach it slightly differently in that I absolutely get the heritage and I get the history and I get the commitment and I get how important Ferrari is to Formula One, and we can't take that away from the sport at all. But as far as I look at it, I'm one of these people that always wants to see the best with the best. So for me, at the moment, Lewis moving to Ferrari makes no sense, because Ferrari have got a quick car, but they're not the best car on the grid. And it's almost that idea of, you almost want to see, you know, it's, I talk about it in football terms, it's like you've got this world-class striker who's on maybe not a top-tier team. You want to see what he's going to do when he's got world-class wingers on a, you know, Champions League team kicking the ball into the box to him or feeding him through the ball. Does that sound like I know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's fine, nailed it.
You talk about the NFL, you've got these absolutely fantastic, you know, he's such a great receiver, great wide receiver, but he's never been on the field with a competent quarterback who can get him the ball. You want to see those outstanding game-breaking receivers go and play with those all-time Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So you want to see, because that gives us the pinnacle of sport. It gives us the Hall of Fame careers. It gives us the, you know, greatest of all-time legacies. So for me, I'm not really bothered whether Lewis decides he wants to go and, you know, ride for Ferrari. That's not a box that I need to see ticked. What I need to see ticked is I need to see Lewis Hamilton in the best car on the grid for the next 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. What I also need to see alongside that is the rest of the field catch up, and those quality drivers like your Ricciardos, Ricciardos, like your Leclercs, you know, even someone like a Bottas who's proven that he can be quick. But some of those guys that have, and maybe even some of those guys that have never had that fairer shake, but you know are good racers, someone like a Carlos Sainz, and also that next generation of British drivers, your Landos and your George Russells. I want to see the gap closed, so that way we're not talking about, well, we'll put them in the best car and see what they can do. I want to see that gap close, and at that point I don't care what colour overalls Lewis is in.
I mean, it comes down to the chicken and egg question, which we had a night at the Foot Club a couple of years ago that Michael hosted with Damon Hill, and asked the question, what's more important, the driver or the car? And Damon, as you'd fully expect, answered it very well. He said, the best drivers go to the best teams, but the best team, the best mechanics and that will follow the best drivers. So if you're the best driver and you're in one team, you go to the next team, the best mechanics will follow you, so that you'll then have better engineering at that one team. So you could see a shift in how the grid's set up just by the best driver in the world moving from one team to another.
Really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and how many times have we said over the last few years, you know, God, I would love to have seen Alonso in that Mercedes. I'd love to have just seen what he did, because even up until last year, you could easily make the argument that Alonso was one of the top four drivers on the grid. And in terms of racing talent, in terms of being able to wring the neck of a car and get 100% out of what it was capable to give, Alonso had that. And if you pop him in one of those Mercs, world champion, possibly. But we always wanted to see it.
Love it, gents, love it. Okay, loads of ways for you to get in touch with us here, of course, the NRF1 podcast, but the first port of call should be patreon.com/NRF1, where you'll find posts and all sorts of gubbins, and of course most importantly what you'll find is our bonus podcasts. You can access them after you've listened to this podcast. It only costs minimum of a couple of dollars, I think, to be a part of the crew per month. That is, you can donate a little bit more if you wish, but that also gets access into the Prediction League as well. We're on social media, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle is at the NRF1 for all three, and of course we love getting your emails, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Okay, let's fire up those NRF1 pit stops. Now I've a feeling we're going to talk mostly about Ferrari. Probably in the bonus Patreon podcast. So let's keep this to Red Bull, but of course there is interlinking because the battles were brilliant at Silverstone. I think that's what really made the race. But also Red Bull, they've caught up Ferrari here, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
If not overtaken them, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, over the past two races, you probably look at them and say they've overtaken them, being the quicker overall package. I do think the Ferrari have got that Ferrari trait in them, where if everything lines up perfectly and the stars align with Venus or whatever, that Ferrari will have a perfect day and actually win a race. But
lucky Venus.
Yeah. I could have gone Uranus.
You did.
Trust me, you couldn't.
But no, Red Bull tick boxes quicker than Ferrari do and make things happen, like their pit stop. Got announced today that they smashed the pit stop record, and it's to 1.91. It's just ridiculous.
We were saying, what can you do in 1.91 or 1.90 of a second? It seems to be
I've literally put a hat on especially for this, and I'll take it off to Red Bull. There you go.
With your trademark shaven head, Phil. Love it. It's phenomenal. And in fairness, obviously Max drove very well once again. Good mature drive. We'll talk about the incident in a bit, of course, with Seb. But a little word for Pierre Gasly. That was a decent weekend. He was quickest in FP1, I think he was. And then he got out-qualified, of course, and ultimately ended up finishing behind his teammate. But there was a bit more life in him, I thought.
Yeah, I think Pierre Gasly is now walking around every single building, every single airport, every single track, every single pit garage. Every single time he's walking anywhere, he's hearing footsteps behind him. And then when he turns around, he hears Albon. So, Alex Albon's driving fantastically this season for the sister team. We've seen it mid-season happen before, where drivers that weren't performing get, put down to Toro Rosso, and Toro Rosso drivers get pulled up. People have been saying that about Gasly. I've been saying that about Gasly since race one, two this year. I mean, he's had to pull something out of there, and he's done it. He's done it very, very well. He looks, really strong. And there are a couple of times during the weekend when I just sat and I went, Gasly, fair play. It's how you respond to that challenge, and I think he's responded well.
Did Alex finish ahead of Daniil Kvyat at the weekend? Anyone know off the top of their head? We haven't got very good reception in my garden. He wasn't in the top 10, Alex, 12. Sadly. Yeah,
Kvyat
was ninth. So,
yeah, Kvyat was ninth.
Interesting thing with Alex. I think Daniil's been driving quite well recently, but there we go. I tell you what, we'll probably touch about the main instances, but do we think that Red Bull can... Well, who's going to finish second in the Constructors' Championship is probably a good question, because, Red Bull are very good at developing their car, and I think you can see that over the course of the season. I don't know if they're getting to tracks that suit the car more at the moment, but they do seem to be tightening it up.
I'd say Ferrari. I trust Ferrari more in terms of their reliability.
I trust Ferrari. I mean, that is not a statement I've heard very recently.
I trust Ferrari more. Okay, well, let's put it like this. Vettel's shown a tendency to, not finish well at times, and more recently than others, he's shown that he can get rattled and he can lose focus. But Leclerc has shown regularly that he's quick and he's dependable and he can finish. So Gasly has not shown that he can consistently finish in the points. That's not through lack of focus. That's generally just probably through lack of speed. But Max Verstappen is the guy that you would expect. And of the two, but if I was to say to you, who do you think is going to score more points this year, Verstappen or Leclerc? That's a pick 'em. That's a 50-50 coin toss. I'm going Leclerc. I think Leclerc has more race wins in him this season than Verstappen does.
I don't. I just think Max has got the experience of being in a top car longer, and I think that would just see him over. Max, if he gets a chance, converts it. Charles had two chances, and by luck or foul, hasn't.
Max has converted more chances because he's taken more risks, and he loses as many risks as he wins. Whereas Leclerc has less risk-taking in him, but that's because he's been able to be less risk-taky, because up until recently, he hasn't had the Red Bulls to contend with as much as he does now. So it could all change going into the second half of the season.
Phil, what do you reckon?
There's definitely more pressure on Ferrari to get second. if they finished third, that would be
devastating.
That'd be devastating for Ferrari, and that'd be very entertaining for the wider public to watch. But yeah, that Ferrari have got to do it by hook or by crook. They've got to do it. Yeah, they can't finish third fiddle.
I think the Red Bull second driver might ultimately be the issue in it all. Brilliant. Okay, well, moving on, we will have our Norfolk notebook in our bonus Patreon podcast. As I said, you can listen to that over at Patreon, patreon.com/nrf1. And now, though, as usual, let's bring you our Of the Weekend awards. Starting off with Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. Phil, who are you giving it to?
Everyone seemed to have a bit of a loving for Charles on Sunday. How well he done. I didn't really see it. Lewis won his sixth home Grand Prix. Masterful drive, commanded the race, and had it on a had the race victory on a string all day, really. So Lewis for me.
Lewis is a great shout. Didn't start first, did some good racing, but safety car helped him out. I know, Phil, you say you think he'd have won the race anyway, but we'll never know. Charles, drove a great race. For me, and this is a bit of a left field one, I'm going Carlos Sainz. Carlos Sainz had some fantastic battles, raced some fantastic people, stayed safe, stayed clean, brilliant quali. Really good race and just finished really, really strong. I would have loved it to have been the other McLaren driver to have, swapped place and been that high up. Would have loved it to have been Lando, British driver, British team, etc. At Silverstone would have been great. But actually, you're starting to see some of that promise that Carlos showed paying off now, and I think that's done really, really well.
And McLaren turning out some decent enough results on pace. It's a step forward, huge step forward from last season, I think. A Team Lotus team of the weekend. You've already put a decent nomination in.
Yeah, Red Bull has to be for that pit stop. That's disgusting. 1.91.
One way of putting it. I thought Lewis said some really nice things. We obviously take for granted the state Mercedes are in, but he said some really nice things about the team and how they helped him to his victory, which was very nice. But yeah, that pit stop was insane.
Yeah, again, honourable. I think Red Bull's the right answer, but honourable mention to McLaren. Home race. Look at where they were last year. Look at we were having these conversations. The conversations we're now having about Williams were the conversations we were having about McLaren last year. So yeah, McLaren is the honourable mention, but Red Bull's spot on.
Yeah, no one mentioning Haas there. Okay, fair enough.
Well, we've got another
Pastor
award,
Maldonado of the weekend. Now, who would that be?
I think we might mention Romain Grosjean specifically.
Yeah.
Purely for the crash in the pit lane. I think Ericsson hit him. That's how.
Yeah, but I was going to say, it's exactly what happened in Baku, only in the pit lane.
Exactly, because he's an idiot. And I don't need to dwell on that anymore.
No.
Haas overall.
Just replay one of the old rants.
Yeah, he crashed in the pit lane. And then I do think him hitting K-Mag, I think that was more him than K-Mag. Yeah. K-Mag almost had all four wheels off the race circuit. Where do you want him to go? Brake? Christ, there's cars right behind him. You can't do that. Romain Grosjean's a selfish driver. He's a careless driver. For me, it's Romain, but brackets, Haas, close brackets. And especially with the rich energy debacle that's going on as well. We're not even touching on that. We could talk about that later, maybe in the other pod.
I think we'll give that one in the Patreon podcast, but maybe not giving it so much. Oh, Rex is about to kill something.
Seen a rich energy deal.
By the way, I haven't forgotten about the poser about the husky chocolate. I just haven't had a chance to look through, but it was to name a Norwegian driver in F1. So I don't know if there even has been. I haven't even had the chance to check, but the one bottle of husky chocolate is set in my fridge, so that will be revisited. Yeah, husky chocolate is hot chocolate or cold chocolate.
Oh, I didn't realise.
We all tried it on the pod.
It was a bar. I thought it was like a chocolate bar.
Well, I did when I was okay. Let's have a chocolate bar. But no, it's performance chocolate drink. That's what I'm calling it anyway.
Cool.
They have McLaren official partner written on the bottles. Very exciting and very tasty too. Thank you again, Husky's Chocolate, for sending us the chocolate. By the way, sorry, worth adding, we're just talking about Haas, of course, McLaren have confirmed that Sainz and Fernando Norris will be their driver lineup for next year already. No sign of Haas confirming their driver lineup just yet for next season.
No, great that McLaren, great that McLaren have done that, because that's going to stop the whole second half of the, or the rest of the, after the summer break, of everyone going, oh, is Fernando going to come back? Because that was the question as soon as they said that Fernando wasn't going to drive next year, he was going to have a year off, inverted commas, and go and do other types of racing. So everyone thought, oh great, that means he's going to be back for 2020. If he's going to be back, it's not going to be in a McLaren, it can be in another car, maybe even less, just drop something and say Vettel might not be a Ferrari driver and Alonso could go in for another year. That would be interesting.
I mean, it would be interesting. Can I just say, Fernand, no, I think was the...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Is that what you just said?
That's what I said in the group.
Right? Oh, it was your line, was
that's
it?
My line. Fernand, no.
There you go.
Yeah.
I loved it. Well done. You mentioned something. Let's get on to the next award. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend. A few. The racing clearly between Max Verstappen and Charles was superb. I think we maybe touch on that in the bonus pod as well, because I think there's a lovely little rivalry building there. But that was epic to watch. Other nominations?
I think my moment of the weekend... you've touched on it. I'm going to have a moment of the weekend that's off the track. And it was the hot lap that Lewis took Sir Frank Williams on. And that was just lovely to see, those two icons of British motor racing.
Frank enjoy it?
Smash it. He very much appeared to. But my favourite part was you can hear the media lady or the promo lady lean through the window to Lewis and go, just one lap. It's just one lap. And Lewis is like, oh, okay, just one lap. And as they're coming around, Lewis just goes, should we go again? And Frank Williams just be like, yes, let's go. Straight away, Frank's like, and you can tell Frank just almost being like, oh, Frank Williams, what are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
What are they going to do? So, that was awesome. That was a really, really nice moment. And I loved Claire Williams trying to say to Lewis, you know, you must be bored of winning by now. Why don't you come and drive one of our cars? Which I thought was a great comment to Lewis, but also very self-aware of where Williams are right now. You know, Claire knows full well that team's absolute dog turd.
Well, they are the only team with a big donut next to their name at the moment in the Constructors' Championship. Yeah. Phil?
For nice moments outside of off the track, I thought it was really nice that they had Charlie White and Son start the race.
That was awesome. That was awesome. I got emotional.
Yeah, proper touch on that. Mm. You know, well done to whoever organised that for them. I thought it was.
There were lots of lovely tributes actually as well. There was a memorial service as well before the racing, I think. On Thursday.
Yeah, but on the track, you can pick any one of the many battles that were going on and the overtakes and.
Go on, give us one. We haven't mentioned one yet, so...
Yeah, I particularly liked the moment that Max was on the outside of Charles, and Charles just kind of almost edged him out just by touching him, basically a vice versa of what had happened the previous week. It's like, them the rules, let's get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. On the track, Ped?
On the track, there was a really good, I think it was Ricciardo-Norris battle. I really enjoyed that. I thought they did really, really well. They did very, when you look at Norris is what? He's 21? I mean, that's young to be that in control of your car. The battle between Ricciardo and Norris was really good.
He's a phenomenal talent. Can you give me one word on the big punt up the backside from Seb?
Just laughable. What's he doing?
We will touch more about that on the Pinkham podcast.
Well, it can do. It's a bit out of character, but okay.
On the Patreon podcast. Let's rate the race out of 11. Now, I think I can't remember what we gave Austria, but it was quite a high mark. Now, was this race better than Austria?
Didn't see Austria.
Fair dues, Phil? The answer's no, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Right, fine. Yeah. So, what would you like to give it? Out of 11, remember.
8.5.
I think that's a good shout.
It's horrible being in love when you're 8.5. 9. No one else getting the Super Claire reference there?
Oh, no, sorry.
Google it, listeners.
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, I'm going to go 9.
I'll go 8.3. So whatever that is the race rating, and I will work them all out. I think I might have a nice summer break to get stuck into all this sort of thing. But by the way, the British Grand Prix last year got an 8.925 and an 8.75. So it's probably less than that. It's going to be below those two, probably.
Yeah, probably.
But what the British Grand Prix does always deliver? It's a good job they signed a new deal. Who knew? Yeah. By the way, don't even get me started on that, because they clearly had always signed a new f***ing deal. It's absolutely ridiculous. Then they just, oh, by the way, look. Oh. Yes, because we're not f***ing morons.
I love the fact they acted like everyone was slaving away in a room. Yeah. Like, you get this idea that it was like 3 a.m, sleeves rolled up, ties loosened, people mopping the brows like, let's just get this done. It's like, it probably was just 5 years, how much, this much, done, checkbook's open, see you tomorrow.
Probably was that. Yeah. And I tell you what, it was probably that 2 months ago. Anyway, enough done.
I love nothing more than a Michael rage.
Ah, who's going to be wearing the biggest smile as they take their private jet plane back to Monaco?
Lewis.
Honestly, I think it's going to be Lando Norris. I know he didn't finish that high in the race, but you talk to him, you hear some of those interviews that he had done. Him and George Russell, actually, both of them, like, I know George did, he did all right, actually, and for him, you know, for Williams, he did all right, and it was just awesome to see those guys with those big, you know, 1,000-watt smiles on their faces. And I think they'll still have those smiles. That's not a high you're going to come down from quickly.
That's very true. Brilliant stuff. OK, so there'll be much more chat about the British Grand Prix. You can hear all that and some other talking points, hopefully. Just check out patreon.com/NRF1. And we will have a little quick look now ahead to the next race, which is, of course, Germany.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. It's in a fortnight, so that's nice. Or depending on when you listen to this, it might not be in a fortnight, but there's certainly a 2-week gap between the two races. We've got then that and Hungary, and I think that wraps up the first half of the season off the top of my head, doesn't
it? Yeah, and goes into summer break after that, so some of the mechanics and people that work on track can actually go and see their families.
Oh, are we looking forward to having a break?
Yeah.
Are we enjoying the season?
Yeah, no, I really am. I've only missed Austria. That's the only race I've missed so far. I've watched every other one.
Watch it. It was good. Yeah. Okay, so in terms of Germany then, I just
realised something, Michael. Yeah. We've gone half an hour talking about the British Grand Prix and not mentioned Lewis's fastest lap on the last lap of the race after 31 laps on hard tyres.
You're right.
That's, you know, shouldn't, you know, Mercedes pitted Bottas previously so he could get the fastest lap, gave him a fresh pair of softs, and Lewis beat him.
Problem is, though, he took the life out of the softs just by smashing them for like 3 solid laps, and then after that they haven't got the weight. I wonder whether they'd have been better off putting him on mediums and sort of holding him until the last lap, to sort of just saying to him, right, regardless of what happens, Valtteri, you smash it on the last lap. Because you knew Lewis was, I mean, you had to know, he's such a competitor.
It's brilliant. It really made me go, yeah, what a dude. Well, you know what, as we're going to talk about Seb, let's hold off the chat about the German Grand Prix. We're looking forward to it. It is Hockenheim, I assume. Yeah, and actually, last year's race saw a kind of return to form for the German Grand Prix in terms of the crowds and the atmosphere. So I don't know if Seb's going to quite generate that for them in 2 weeks' time, but we'll see. We'll keep that chat for the Patreon podcast. Likewise, our chat about predictions. We'll get our full predictions in. But if you could give us just one, gents, that'd be lovely. I'm going to predict that there is no way Sebastian Vettel's going to be on the podium at his home race.
Oh, that's bold. But that's what he did last year, wasn't it? He binned it when he was just second or winning it.
Yeah. Cost him the championship, that.
I'm going to say...
Effectively.
I'm going to say K-Mag is going to score at least 1 point. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say K-Mag's going to bounce back for Haas, but Rogro is going to be an absolute knobhead and not get anything. But my only prediction is that K-Mag will score a point.
Yeah, Kevel will have run him off the track at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Max second.
Whoa, love it. P2, specific.
Yeah.
I love it. Right, in that case, we are done. We're also being eaten alive, so I think we're going to record the second podcast indoors, if that's all right. But if you do want to hear more from us talking about the action in Silverstone, as well as our full predictions ahead of Hockenheim, then check out our exclusive Patreon podcast for that. And a whole lot more content, of course, patreon.com/NRF1. And keep checking back if you don't see EP248. It will be there at some point soon, I'm sure. We will return with E249. That will be our German Grand Prix review, as well as another bonus Patreon edition shortly after round 11, I think. Don't know if I've got that right now, of the 2019 Formula One World Championship. I might not have got that right, but it doesn't matter. In the meantime, thanks, of course, to Future Radio. Thanks to my garden for putting us up. That's nice. And goodbye from the dearly beloved crew. Rex is shunning me with his back. He's probably going to hunt something.
He's standing sentinel. He's standing guard for us.
He's definitely listening, by the way.
Yeah.
Cheers, Pat.
Cheers, Mike.
Cheers, Phil.
Cheers, Mike.
Cheers to all you for listening. We always really appreciate it. This has been the NRF1 podcast. It's nice to have a couple of really good races to get stuck into. Let's hope for a third, of course, over at Hockenheim. We'll see you on the other side. Until then, goodbye.